Just a short word. Hey, good to see you, Pastor Barry. What a good job he's doing with the day school. And it's amazing. How many great people the Lord has given to the body of Christ, and also how many not so great people have become great people, and also how many not so great people are just here. That's awesome. And we grow in grace. I want you to see just a couple of short things. 2 Samuel chapter 14. When David kisses Absalom in chapter 14 and verse 33. I've got to get my glasses here. Okay. Chapter 14, verse 33. Maybe you know the story. Absalom, verse 28, 2 Samuel 14, 28. Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. This happens when a family is divided and the dad is saying, you know, I don't want to see my son. And that happened with David. I don't want to see Absalom. And Absalom moved to Jerusalem to see his dad. But Absalom had murdered his stepbrother, one of David's sons, and David had a problem. And he had a very hard time with this. And if you read from verse 28 to 33, you see Absalom was trying very hard to get his dad's attention, to get his dad's attention, to get an audience with his dad. He worked very hard to get an audience with his dad. And when David finally gave in and he saw his son, it doesn't look like there wasn't any real spiritual conversion. There wasn't any real change. There wasn't any real forgiveness, maybe, or bringing the issue, putting it on the table, and finding Absalom guilty of murder. A court of law would have maybe worked good to bring Absalom to a court of law, but it isn't always like that in life. And so David has a problem because he can't connect with his son. And why not? You know, I think this is a great story. It's not our message tonight, but it's something for you to think about. How many families have problems? How many families cannot forgive? How many families are not talking to each other? How much estrangement? How difficult it is? This is like this happens in life. And so when David saw Absalom came in verse 33. Joab came to the king, told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king, bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. So it was a expression outwardly, outward expression. But what you and I have found is something much deeper, and it's the spiritual fellowship between God and you, God and me. God is in us. We are in fellowship in the light. We are walking in the light, and we have fellowship. But this meeting was falling short of something spiritual. Yeah, something godly, something powerful, something life-changing. And why do we know that it fell short? Because Absalom took his arrogance, his dad's kiss, and he built a little platform for his next move, which was in his heart. So that's chapter 15 in verse 1, and we'll finish with that. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. In other words, he got a Cadillac, he got security guards, he got a bank account, he got the king's signature, he got empowered. That's what it means. He got empowered because the king had kissed him, met him, kissed him, and he was ready to roll. So I bring that up just as a meditation and something to think about, because you folks are really you are growing, you are learning, you are spiritually minded. You are interested. Yeah, things are going. God is with us in these important times. And it's because of something different. And that's Luke 7. Wow, this is so good. I could have preached the whole message on this. Maybe that's what it is. This is the whole message. Luke 7 and verse... Luke 7:37. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. So she wants to see Jesus. Absalom wants to see his father. Okay? Absalom wants to see his father because his father is the gateway to his future. The woman wants to see Jesus, but it's different. She's converted. She's changed. And she wants to worship him. This difference is big. That's what's happened to you and I by God's grace, the Spirit in us. And we are like this woman who has the alabaster box. And she was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought the box and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Wow. He began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. That's a forgiven sinner. This is the difference in the stories. Absalom may not even realize his sin and then nothing about forgiveness. Nothing about grace, nothing about his guilt, nothing about it. It's kind of washed over and he's kissed. But this woman is a sinner and she's converted. She's a worshiper and it's real. This woman, you cannot stop her because she's growing in grace. One thing about growing in grace is grace doesn't grow. Grace isn't growing. You are growing in the grace. There's a moving going on. And in this woman's life, yeah, she is realizing grace. And grace means she didn't deserve it. God loves her. She's walking by faith. She's a worshiper. And the Spirit is moving. And I would love to just take a minute, and just say the names of people that are in this church that through this whole year, 2020, and everything that we have gone through are like this woman. And there's nothing that can stop her because she has found God and God has found her. And she's just growing in it. And it says that in 2 Peter 3, And that was the part I wanted to share tonight, growing in grace. So this is a good introduction. We can see the difference. Absalom is not growing in anything except his own selfishness. And his dad didn't know how to handle it. His dad stayed away because he knew. And that happens to us too. I think with God, God knows I cannot deal with sinners. They are very hard to deal with. Their hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And it's hard to catch one. It's hard for me to get one. I have to hang on a cross to draw them to me. And then maybe somebody, and this is, of course, my human way of expressing the fact that don't blame David because he had a family problem, because those things happen, and they can happen to anybody, even Jesus with Judas, who also kissed him, and it was over. And Judas went, because he was not converted. You see, when we are ministering the gospel, the great work of grace, this is the only way that a person would get saved is by grace. It's the only message that can change a person, and it's the only thing in life worth growing in. It's the only thing that can really change my life is the grace of God. And the only thing that brings us together as brothers and sisters is the grace of God. And remember the man who had two sons, the prodigal son and the elder son. And when the prodigal came, the father ran. And when the elder son wouldn't come in the house, the father just walked out the back door into the garden. It is not fun to meet Absalom. It is not fun to hang out with Judas. It's not fun to try to persuade the elder brother. You may not win. You may not win. David did not win. Judas was not saved. And Saul was not changed. But grace can do it. And if we realize, you know, who we are and what it is that's happening in the world, and we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then we can grow in this grace. That's the introduction. So praise the Lord. I want us to love each other very much. Let's look at one other one, Philippians chapter 4, and just this verse 1. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. Therefore, my dearly beloved, number one, dearly beloved. Number two, I long for you. I long for you. Like, I'm sure Pastor Shabelli longs for the folks in Africa. Longing for brothers and sisters. My joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Do you love Absalom? I love Absalom, but not really that, you know, I love him. He's unsaved. It's, you know, I love him. I have a ministry to him, but he's not the same as a woman with the alabaster box. When you and I have brothers and sisters like that, they are dearly beloved, they are longed for, they are our joy, they are our crown, they are precious. Lord, for the ministry, your Spirit to young men, young women around the world, the Sunday schools, Pastor Matti in Lapland, the conference starting this weekend, for the spirit in Turkey, for the Robbins families, for the work, Lord, around the world in India. Pray for Susie, Silva tonight, and Andrew. Thank you for them. Pray for the church and churches. For young men, young women, understanding what it means to be empowered, filled, anointed, hungry, loving, worshiping, alabaster box. Lord, what happened to us when we were young, that it would be happening again and again and again around the world, and that it would continue in us always, never stopping. For the Bible college tomorrow morning, our first day, Pastor Love's class in the morning and at night, and our dear brothers and sisters in America. Father, we pray for our country, not abstractly, but fervently, fervently. Bless these thoughts tonight in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being out tonight. This is such a church on fire. This church is amazing. I love this church. This church is amazing. It is. It's amazing. I was on the phone with Pastor Matti, who is up in Lapland. This is a couple hundred miles north of the Arctic Circle in the woods up there, and they have a facility, and the Finns are going up there. It is in Finland. It's on the border of Norway and Finland, up at the very top. And he just said that the Spirit is moving, and they're gathering like they've done it a few times this summer. And there's another group coming this weekend. Pastor Juha is the guest speaker. And he told me just how much God is answering prayer, how much he's meeting people, how many people are coming to the facility. The reindeer people, the Sami people, it's a people group, and they have reindeer. That's how they live up there. I mean, there are those two. And it'll come back to my mind, some of the things that he shared, I think. But turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And thanks for the youth teachers that are teaching tonight, the junior church. And I mean, that's amazing. And then the love that we have and the spirit that we have as a body. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a great verse. The grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant towards the Apostle Paul. Was great grace toward Paul. Not judging Paul based on his sin, but giving him grace and loving him. And so we come to the very important statement of verse 15. This is a faithful saying. This is a saying that they would say in the early church. This is a saying that sticks in us because as we explain it tonight, and it is worthy of all acceptation. It's to be recognized. It's to be repeated. It's to be understood. It's to be diagnosed. It's to be evaluated, embraced, and understood. And it is this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. He came into the world to save sinners. What is a sinner? But a person who is absolutely opposed to God, not simply passively, but actively in rebellion against God, a sinner. Unclean, defiled, the woman that we read about, and Absalom too. Absalom also, a sinner. And Paul, the sinner. And the woman in Luke 7, the sinner. And you and I. Recently, we sent the Robbinses back to Turkey to start their, to pick up where they left off after COVID started. And they've been gone, but they go back to save, to see Jesus save sinners. The world doesn't know the word very well. They don't like the word sinner. They don't know what sin is, really. They don't talk about it every day. They don't diagnose it in the hospital. They don't talk about it even in the courtroom. What is a sinner? But the church does. Because we know when we see Absalom, he's very handsome and very good-looking guy, and he's a son of a king. And Absalom is amazing, but you scratch the surface and you find a sinner. He's in the king's palace. He's in the pool room. He is on the street. He's in the university. He is everywhere. We are sinners. It's powerful. It destroys us, our sin. Our sin is the problem. It's not our money or lack of it. It's not our environment. It's not our society. It's not our family. It's me. I am the problem. I am a sinner. And Christ Jesus came to save us. It's like everything man could do is just this. He can do this, but Jesus Christ saves sinners. There's no way. What could wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Though you take much soap and much alkaline and much acid, I cannot get the damn spot out. Remember, Shakespeare and Macbeth wrote, out, damn spot, out. He had murdered a king, and the blood was on his hands, and he couldn't get the spot out. And he said, out, damn spot, out. It doesn't come out. My sin is forever with me. I cannot get rid of it. But this is a saying. This is a incredible, worthy, incredible, powerful statement that God so loved the world that he gave his son so that sinners would be saved, changed, born again. Our sins washed away, our name in the book made righteous like God, forgiven, anointed, indwelt by the Holy Spirit with exceeding great and precious promises of 2 Peter 1:4. So let's read it, verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Save. Good word. Drowning in the lake. Ever happened to anybody here? Drowning in the lake when you're going down the third time, your lungs are filled with water. There's no way you're going to live unless somebody saves you. Save. To be saved. There's no way. Man cannot save himself. An unclean man cannot make himself clean. A sinner cannot change himself. There's no way that a sinner can be changed. He can be morally improved, cosmetically changed, but his heart, his spirit, he's like Absalom, looking for a kiss, but not a changed life. No, it can't happen. Nothing can change Absalom except Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ saves us, we are saved. We are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know the verse. It's a miracle. It's a work of grace. Sometimes we think my Christian life is about me, you know, my life, my disciplines, my effort, and I know in our sanctification it is like we understand these things and some of the laws and rules of life. And we may forget what it really is. It is that God, when I was a sinner, God came and saved me, and he gave me grace. In every morning of the day when you and I get up, it's the grace of God. And every time we are in communion with our Heavenly Father, it is a communion of grace. It is God saying, you are standing in my grace. Yeah, I want you to learn who I am. I want you to know how much I love you, how much I am for you. So the woman took the alabaster box of ointment and goes in, and it's just a picture of the love that happens because of salvation. It's a picture of what grace does in changing my hard heart and learning to love, learning worship, learning to serve others, learning not to judge people, learning to be thankful, learning to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that happens with us, we start giving grace in our family. We start talking grace to each other. We start overlooking sin because it says love covers a multitude of sins. Have you ever hung out with people that are just so gracious, so edifying, and they just cover a multitude of sins just by how they live, how they talk, how they think? And I think that's like God. I think God just looks at us and just says, I want you to know me as the God of all grace. I want you to grow in the grace. I want you to learn what grace is. And I have to say, I think during this time, these last months, as we have walked by faith in God, we have learned how to relate to God and not so much live in the fear or of our circumstances. Because our life is changed inwardly, then we can be very bold outwardly. You know, I think Absalom, his inward life wasn't changed, so he was so attracted to outward things. Our inward life is changed, so we are not attracted to the outward things. We are attracted to the invisible. We are attracted to the spiritual. We are attracted to prayer. We are attracted to love. We are attracted to giving grace. We are attracted to faith. So, it's funny. The freshness of it. Look at it again, we'll finish up here. It says 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why we need to be careful in our ministry that we always hit the point. Have you been saved? Do you know about salvation? Have you heard what the Bible says about you? Have you heard about the grace of God? Has the Spirit of God drawn you? Are you hungry and thirsty? No. Yes, but my marriage. That's how people talk, which is okay, but I want to make a point. but my finances, but my marriage, but my children. But maybe those things are in your life so that they would draw you to God. That you would realize that the primary thing in life is salvation. And that when you receive Christ into your life and you are born of the Spirit, now you have fellowship with God. And to grow in the grace of God and the knowledge of God, they go together. When you know Jesus, you will know grace. When you grow in grace, by the way, we have all grace now that we stand in. We have all grace now, but I need to grow in the grace that is now. I want to grow in it. Grow. I want to be changed. I want to grow. Like a plant grows. It changes. It grows down and it grows up. I want to grow in grace down. I want to grow in grace up. I want to grow in grace wide. I want to learn about not being a bitter, angry man. I want to learn about grace and the grace that saved me, like the woman in that story. Now notice in the story, there was a Pharisee standing there, and I like to think of him like his arms folded, and he's saying, you know, this woman, if he was a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. And he was wrong in the whole thing. He was wrong about the woman, and he was wrong about Jesus. He was a Pharisee, and he's wrong. And we said, you know, some time ago on that text, that these three people are in me. I have the Pharisee in me, I have the woman who is a sinner in me, and I have Jesus in me. And the three are in me. And sometimes I listen to the Pharisee, and he's wrong. And the Pharisee in me makes my life hard. The Pharisee in me misses the gospel, and the Pharisee in me is not the kind of minister that Jesus has made the woman. But the woman is a minister. The woman could go to Turkey. The woman could go to Africa. The woman could go to an island. The woman could preach in Latin America. The woman could minister. She's a minister because she has love. And she's growing in grace and learning grace and knowledge. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3, 3:16? Don't fall, or 17, don't fall from in the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. This is for believers. That believers would not fall from their steadfastness. You know how a gyroscope falls? By stopping. The gyroscope stops, it falls. But if it's the wheel is going on, inside it stands. Don't fall from your steadfastness by the error of the wicked, but grow, or be moving in a spiritual way, be moving in faith, be moving and growing in grace. Keep giving grace. Give grace to yourself. Give grace to others. Grow in the grace and knowledge, and then you will not fall from your own steadfastness. So years ago, in the ministry, God gave us a lot of grace, and sinners, a lot of them, a lot of sinners were saved by the grace of God. And they would go to sleep at night with peace and joy in their hearts. They would come back. They would keep coming to the church. God would speak to them. And they went to India, they went to Africa, they went to Europe, they went to Latin America. And those works in Chile, in Argentina, in these places. And what's happening? And this is what Pastor Mati said. He goes, it's happening. He said, I met a man, an old man, older man who owns a store. And he said, and I met this this Sami guy, this native of the area, and we were talking. He said, when I was a little boy and we're playing, some little boys came to me. And they said, they came out of the blue. The little boys said, three or four little boys, they said to the other little boy, he said, who's now a man, he said, we want your mother to teach us Sunday school. We want your mother. Now, this is way up in Lapland, right? We want your mother. So he said, come with me. So the little boys went to the mother, and they said, you know, we want, could you teach us Sunday school? And she said, yes. And so now this man is 60 years old or whatever. And Pastor Mati says, I believe that this guy was one of these little boys, and it was God. Of course, God is doing so many things in this world. God is saving sinners. God is doing so many things everywhere. Little boys, teenagers, missionaries, pastors, ministers. God's grace. God is saving sinners, and we are growing in the grace. That's important. Growing in it. Learning it, talking about it, thinking about it, worshiping God for the grace of God. And then I ask the body, like all of us, let's pray this semester in Bible college would be awesome. I feel it. It's anointed. It's awesome. It's God's will. It's His will. And then one day we lay hands on some of these people and they go out in the world and they preach and sinners get saved. That's how it goes. It's unbelievable. And it's the primary thing that God is doing in the world today. We're not fighting. Churches are not fighting with each other. We're not judging or comparing. We're not living in some kind of arrogance, indifference, passivity. We're not shutting down, shutting up, closing up shop, backing off, afraid. No, we are growing. And maybe the hard times are ahead of us, and this is what my expectation is. That's okay if we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be fun. It'll be a ride. It's the way to live. And with the gospel. God is in the gospel. God wants the gospel preached. God wants to save sinners. He wants them to walk forward. He wants them to pray the prayer. He wants them to live by faith. And He saves them. He changes them. He gives them a new heart and a new spirit. And they're filled with the Spirit. If they are walking by faith in Him, they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the work of God's grace. Grace is everywhere. He's the God of all grace. There's no sin He cannot forgive. There's no person He cannot save. But we know also Absalom is not hearing. Absalom is not saved. But that's fine. That's God's work. But this woman is saved. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, everything about our new life is geared for this. Everything we're doing here is all about this worthy saying, this incredible reality. And in our church, God, we want to see this happening, and in all churches everywhere. And Father, who cares about church? Close down churches if they're not preaching the gospel. It's just an empty thing. It's a misrepresentation of the ministry. Or bring revival and change and fill our country with the message and many salvations, much teaching, much edifying. Father, we pray, please save more souls, God. Raise up men and women. Father, anoint us in our work and our labor. Teach us prayers. Prayers, Lord. Prayers, God. It's a dark world. The enemy is shouting loudly in the street. His name is Goliath. And Absalom is busy in his devices. But we are in a hiding place with God, and we're growing in grace. Father, that we learn to love, learn to share our joy, learn to give, learn to teach Sunday school, learn to invest in teenagers, learn the ministry. Please help us in it. Renew our youth like eagles. Help us, encourage us, and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. And then anyone here, not a believer, come to Jesus tonight. There is no sin that could take you to hell. There is no sin that is so great that could take you to hell. But that sin of unbelief, that sin of fearing and withdrawing, that sin of keeping your life for yourself, that fear, that sin of your guilt and your fear keeping you away from God. Come to God by faith and believe in God, and He saves you. He forgives you. We ask it in your name, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.